Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Ocean is Scary campaign has come to an end. I'm back in there. The way I see it, it's like Chicago, New York, and LA. Okay. If you're not from there and you just listen to rap and follow DJ Academics, you think it's probably the worst places on earth. You think they're scary everywhere. And then you go and you're like, oh, okay, there are parts like that, but
yeah,
it's not like that as a whole. It's really nice.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Tahir Moore.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn Internet. You're crazy. Oh, you scary. Yeah.
Damn Internet, you crazy. It's been a long day.
It's a crazy day. I was filming. We were filming Squadcast, and somebody hit me like 15 minutes before we got out and with the craziest news about a family member. And I'm just like,
damn.
I'm like, damn, do I try to fly back? Because I'm supposed to go back to St. Louis on Monday, but I'm like, I might need to go back early based off of this shit. Oh,
man.
And it's been like that since I got up this morning, man. God.
Jesus.
Damn. Oh, 2025, man. I don't know, man. Like this is a year. This is a motherfucking year. And I knew it when New Year's Eve happened. I was like, this year could be different. And it has
before midnight or after midnight?
Before midnight, going into midnight, at midnight, after midnight. Yeah, I was like, this is gonna be one of them hard years.
Like the writing's on the wall.
God damn. It was like you go to a friend's house, you be like, oh, your mama and your daddy smoke crack in the kitchen? Yeah, I ain't coming back up here.
Damn.
Well, it was very invisible.
Good news, it's like it's Q4. And there are plenty of people or ballers that had a shitty three quarters and they came back in the fourth. That Mamba mentality, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, that's what I'm holding on for. Cause, sheesh, nigga,
you gotta drop 80.
Man, it's been fucking only not the only strong part is that, but one of the big parts is just losing weight and keeping it off. Boy, but the crazy thing is, like when you're going through shit, it could either make you lose more weight or gain weight. So even though I'm working out like crazy, with all the shit I'm going through, I'm terrified of gaining weight again.
Really?
I have dreams of fat here chasing me with turkey legs and barbecue and brisket.
It's okay. Just eat it. Just eat it.
You'll feel so much better if you're eating.
Damn.
He's pouring barbecue sauce down my mouth. And let me kiss my breath.
Damn. Honestly, that's probably a big nightmare for a lot of people.
Yeah, but man, outside of like letting myself down personally, I the jokes that are going to be there just waiting for me. It's outside my door. Gotta come out. I put this out. You staying in? Okay. We'll be here, nigga. Cam already told me he was waiting on me to get fat again.
Jokes is a good way to keep you in the gym, too. I feel like those are two very big, like, you know, it'll inspire you. Big inspirations.
When we were traveling doing promo for Churchy, Kev was taking us to like all of these fancy ass restaurants in Chicago, and we eating good every night. I mean, I came back from that trip like 10 pounds heavier. Damn. I came home, I weighed myself, freaked out for a full day, and then I was like, time to go crazy. And that's when I fasted for 6 days straight, no alcohol, only ate between, like intermittent fast, I only ate between 12 and 7. Only drank water and was doing two a days, and I lost that shit.
Woo.
So I know it's possible. 10? Huh?
Mm-hmm. Lost all 10? Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I was like, no, sir. So I got a new trainer. I just got a trainer that got me on a crazy regimen with the food and the workout. And then I also signed up for D Herb's, AD's Herb programs, 20-day raw vegan fast. So, I'm gonna get to the low 190s or right under 190. I'm gonna get that shit. Yeah, that gives me a 20-pound window.
Little cheat window.
Hey, just I just gotta make sure. Once I'm in the 190s for like 4 months and I'm not gonna go up, I'll be like, all right, this is my new normal. I'm gonna stay here unless it's muscle. So
damn.
I hate it, bro. I hate it. I hate it and love it. I love the discipline. I love the results. But I hate that I'm so terrified of seconds or snacks or Doritos. I will stop at the beginning of a Dorito aisle and back slowly and just go down another aisle. That should be calling me like, hey, big head, you don't fuck with us no more.
Treating it like an alleyway in Gotham.
Nigga.
You gonna get attacked by some Cool Ranch? Damn.
Shit, man. What's up with you, man? How was Hawaii? Tell us about it, man. What was the birthday like, bro?
Everything was cool, man. It was definitely a huge reset. I like the ocean again. You know what I mean? The ocean is scary. The ocean is scary campaign has come to an end. I'm back in there. The way I see it, it's like Chicago, New York, and LA. Okay. If you're not from there and you just listen to rap and follow DJ Academics, you think it's probably the worst places on earth. You think they're scary everywhere. And then you go and you're like, oh, okay, there are parts like that, but
yeah,
it's not like that as a whole. It's really nice. That's how I see it.
I dig that. Because when I went to Chicago, before we did the press tour, I went again like the week before we went back to the press tour. And my Uber driver was like, do you want to see the city? Hey, man, take me to where the fuck the address is in the app, bro. Don't be going around. You want to see old block niggas? No. No, I didn't make it out the hood to go see what other niggas' hoods is like. No, take me directly to the venue.
Right. First, yeah, that's not cool for an Uber driver, especially in a city that's known for being set uppy.
Bro, and he was like Indian, and I was like, I don't know if you good at these places where you trying to take me. Like, I don't know if your pass is valid enough for you to validate somebody else. Mm-hmm. So let's just go. I don't want to see the bean. I don't want to see O'Block. Just take me to the fucking venue, man. Let's just go.
Is Harold's Chicken in a bad neighborhood? I feel like it is.
There are some that are. There's one that's like close to downtown area, so that one's good. But the ones that we went to when we went did the promo thing, we went to Harold's and we went to Uncle Remus. Uncle Remus on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
I would not go over there without a guide. And transportation that's waiting for you to get in and out of the car. And then the Harold's that we went to was on the south side as well. And I would say the same thing.
Okay. So east side and north side are okay, or
I didn't go over there. I don't really just be venturing out in other people's cities and hoods without a guy.
Like, where's his downtown?
Downtown is like downtown. It's like, you know, like the center of the city. It's like our downtown.
Our so downtown else,
the directional location is usually from downtown.
Is downtown like the middle of every city?
Typically is in the center, right? Because our downtown is downtown. Then you got South LA, you got Inglewood, right. You got Compton, and then Watts a little bit further. And then north of downtown, you have Hollywood, North Hollywood, Burbank, Glendale, Simi Valley, Sylmore. All of that is north. But downtown is usually in the center, I thought. So
I didn't know.
That's what I'd be going off of.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like the town square.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's where I'll be. That's where the most police stations are. That's where I'll be.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I see the ocean now. It's just like Chicago, you know, there's places you can go, there's places you should be, there's places you shouldn't be. That's what I'm saying. I'll snorkel and swim on the beach, but all those scary places that I be talking about on the internet, I shouldn't be there anyway. So
yeah, leave it alone, man. What you going all the way out there for, man? I'm not doing it, man. I'm good on all of that shit right there, man. I will say I have some good-ass food, though. Chicago is undefeated when it comes to, like, good food, bro. But I won't say undefeated. Because New York got a hella options for good food. Baton Rouge got hella options for good food, even though Baton Rouge typically caters to one style, like Cajun style. Mm-hmm. Chicago, you get a little bit of everything in that motherfucker. The same thing with New York. L.A. as well, but I feel like Mexican kind of stands out amongst the rest in L.A.
Well, definitely. But I feel like with Chicago, it's mainly pizza and chicken, right? Are those the two things? Or is it barbecue?
No, mainly pizza and chicken that they're known for, but they also do good hot dogs. Chicago has a lot of hot dog joints. And that pizza that they do, like the deep dish is one style of pizza, but it's also like if you're local, that's not necessarily what it's known for you.
Yeah, I think I've only had deep dish once and it was like cake. So I didn't really, yeah, I didn't really order it again.
That's it. And it takes about 45 minutes to an hour to cook.
Does it really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's basically, you basically cooking a tomato stew.
It's mainly tomatoes.
Well, I'm just saying, like the tomato sauce that they use, they have like a basically like a thicker wall or higher wall type pie crust situation, and they fill it with the sauce, and then the ingredients are put in, and then they bake that. So you got to get it to a point where, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of solid with the cheese and then the top crust. So yeah, man. But shit, that shit is good though. It's just like I don't see anybody doing anything physical after one or two slices. There's no way possible.
That's how it was. It was just way too heavy. Sorry,
my yeah. That's another thing, bro. With the new diet, like I be eating the shit, and I strategically eat heavier meals if I'm going to eat heavy in the early part of the daytime. They say you're supposed to eat your heaviest meal at breakfast
really?
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. That's when you're gonna be the most active. At dinner, mm-hmm. You eating a heavy ass meal. You finna go to sleep in like 2 hours. This is gonna be on.
Yeah, I just realized this month that eating too close to sleep is what makes me wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I feel like my body can't fully go to sleep because it's doing stuff. So I'd be up at like 5, 6, and that used to be like a constant thing. And then I stopped eating late, and I started sleeping all night. So I'm like, man, this growing old stuff is crazy.
If you said that, let me ask you this question. Like, now that you're older, you're more further in your career, you got other options, you're going to the gym a lot, you're doing the Muay Thai, you're traveling. How important is sex to you now versus what it was in 10 years ago?
Important?
Like, how would you rank it on your totem pole of things to do, important things to do?
I mean, honestly, it's never been like super high up. I've never been like, we're going out, we're trying to get laid, stuff like that. But I will say, since I started being super active, it's been like a more often type of thing. Because before, when I wasn't active, it was all the way across. It was just like, I don't feel like doing that. But I feel like being in the gym, I see why, yeah, there's a lot of like gym rats that be too horny. I'm not at that level, but I see why. It do change your body, though. It definitely do change your body.
That's crazy, because it's kind of the opposite for me. Like, I was okay, like, with sex. I think when I was heavy, I just used the swag, and I was just like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Sex, you know what I mean? And now that I'm fit, I'm just like, I'd rather work out. Because I just think about everything that, yeah, like I think about when I was dating in college, right? Like, there was no quick smash and dash. If she was coming over, she's probably going to watch a movie. Y'all going to do that whole tip around the reality of what's going on and why she's over there. Oh, so God. Even if y'all smash once, this is probably a four-hour event, right? Four-hour time lapse that you are going to spend with this person, minimum, right? You can't just kick out after she leave, throw a wet towel at the head that she goes out the door. You know what I'm saying? You got to be somewhat respectful human being. And now, like, 4 hours, nigga, 4 hours I can get in 10 to 12 mile height for 4 hours. I can make hella videos. I get a nap in. It's hard to beat a nap right now. My totem pole naps are pretty hot, bro.
Well, no one's ever like, what else could I do in this time? It's just a matter of, do you want to or not? You know, it's kind of like, you know, a snack.
See, before it was never a do I want to or not. It was always a yes. If smashing is available, let's smash real quick. Let's get this knocked out. I looked at smashing like a coupon that was expiring or a good deal. It's like
that was expiring. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like you got 4 hours to use this, buy one, get one free, or else this shit is out the door. It's 60% off whatever pair of J's you want. And it's like, I gotta hit the ATM real quick. And yeah, now it's like, it's just not as important. Like I value, I don't know, man, more things that have I guess physical rewards, whether it be monetary, whether it be, you know, getting stronger, getting more physically fit.
There's no physical reward for sex. It's the biggest physical reward. You don't. You said there's no.
It's not really physical though. Like it's only outside physical. Of sweating and shit like that. Sex ain't really like the reward. The payoff for sex is internal, right? Like you.
It's pretty external too.
You get some endorphins going in your brain. Brain like, oh yeah, that felt great. This is amazing. But like, there is no physical unless you get pregnant. There's no physical reward for sex. None.
Well, I wouldn't agree. I would disagree with that.
What would you say it is?
I feel like the endorphins lead. First of all, it feels nice, so it can swing your mood around. It could help with sleep. It could help with relaxation. You know what I'm saying? That's like it's sex has the same rewards as a nice little joint or a cup of coffee or I don't know, some tea. Like it's all just you know,
I love that you just related sex to green tea, to a matcha, a medium matcha.
If it makes you go like after a crazy day, then it's invaluable.
How often do you have sex that makes you go, whew? And how often versus how many times you've had sex? It was like, all right, that was a good way to fill an hour.
An hour is crazy. I don't feel an hour. Who would do that?
I'm just talking about that maybe from start to finish, from when the person got there to when the deed was done, to the cleanup and the chill afterwards. That whole time is probably an hour.
Oh, right? I mean, I guess almost every time, unless it's like a performance issue on one of us, and you're just like, man, she was trash. that's always a waste of time. I mean, you could ask anybody. That's always a waste of time. But I think if it's a good time, it's always like, whew, all right. But I get it. That post nut clarity hit fast, and you're
man. I guess because maybe I fucked with this. I've had so many partners that like now I'm just like with poser, it hits me immediately. I'll be on the way to climax and I'll be like, nigga, you could have had a V8.
A V8? Tomato juice? I've never had that thought in my life.
You could have had a V8. Yeah. I hate it now, man. I don't hate that, but I just be like, I hate the how aware I am of how much of a time killer it is. So, I've been working more than anything, man. I'm excited about this new juncture of life. But we got some crazy questions, man, and I want to get your.
Let's do it.
If you could replace all the grass in the world with something else. What grass?
This is a tough question because if you say something like money, people are going to start killing each other and the value of money is going to obviously crash. Yeah. It would have to be something that you can't trade. You said,
I mean, you could replace it with leaves. You could replace it with.
Replace the grass money. With leaves?
Yeah, you're the wizard in this one. I would put low shag carpet everywhere that was grass.
That's gross. I love grass. That's so much.
I mean, this might be an organic carpet. It might grow and replenish, and it just never gets higher than that, so we don't need lawnmowers and shit like that. But no more itching when you're rolling in the carpet versus rolling in the grass. It's always soft.
I feel like I would replace it with, like, lotion, you know? Because think about it. No more, there's no excuse to be ashy anymore. Everybody's moisturized. Homeless people are moisturized. It's not like a crazy thing that people would fight over. It wouldn't cause no deaths. It would just be like a nice little place to quickly moisturize. People can lay in it. You know, you can frolic in it if you find a field. I feel like fields of lotion would make the world a better place. You know what I'm saying?
No, nigga. No, I don't
want to be. I thought we were being ridiculous.
Well, I thought carpet was like a good replacement because it's still low. It's not going to make a mess. Like a pool of lotion where homeless people can get in and not be ashy is going to be disgusting after that one homeless person got in.
Well, we're not going to, I mean, if it's a shag rug, you kill off the entire ecosystem that needs grass and soil. So if we're being literal, of course not. if we're being literal, of course not. Yeah.
Good point. I didn't think about the holes in mine. I just thought about yours immediately being nasty with people when they
I mean, it would rain and immediately mold. The whole earth would be mold and not like.
No. We got this new grass. It'd be similar to turf.
I feel like lotion is still more useful. Only humans, though. I would kill off crazy amounts of ecosystems, too. Oh, actually, all the animals that need to eat grass would die, too. I guess the easy answer is cash.
We're right back to the worst possible thing.
Every play, just make it cash. Hopefully, people grab as much as they can, and then the economy crashes. I don't know.
What if the ground was just napkins? So you never had to like walk around with a runny nose or if you had
trash?
Just napkins. Just napkins.
That's gotta be worse.
You think so?
That's what Skid Row look like now.
But just this riddle with dirty napkins. Soon as you pull one, it'll be replaced with another one.
You don't think they'd be dirty after like a couple hours?
I feel like the dirty ones you could pull up. Like they would have attendants to like go collect the dirty ones so new ones can replenish.
Attendants. Okay, so there's a staff involved.
Well, I mean, it's the same way like how they have grass now. They have to have people go out there. They got city workers who go out there and maintain the grass, make sure it doesn't get too high on the side of the road and public places and shit like that. I just figured it would be like that.
I'm still going lotion. I think lotion is...
So now you have abandoned cash and gone back to lotion?
I think lotion is...
You're a wild nigga.
If we just take the animals out of it, I think lotion works.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you have that one. Next question, mm-hmm. Real quick. If you had to erase one everyday human invention from history, ooh, which one would it be and why?
A human invention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From history?
From history. It's no longer available.
Does money count?
I mean, if you want to, I don't know how. I mean, that's going to be a crazy nationwide bartering system.
Yeah, because that would even change rap music.
Yeah. What is niggas making it rain with? Actually, can we talk about it? Can we stop making it rain?
Did you ever do that?
I've made it rain at a club a couple times in my entire life. And that club was one nightclub, one strip club. And even still, with making it rain, I never threw more than $15, $20 max in the air.
If there's singles, you can get it out of your system real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Throwing like 60 bands at a time. That's just like, hey, you didn't get enough out of that toss. That was way too expensive of a toss. Because you go like this, that's $120,000 when it could have been $2. Same amount of swag.
More than $20. Like, let's say I want to have a crazy night. I'm gonna fuck off $5,000. I'm hiring a major league pitcher to throw my shit.
No, you got to do it.
Because then if I got money to blow, I'm hiring a pitcher to throw this money at people. That way I can get a little more enjoyment out of it. It's not just giving it away. I might get some excitement out of seeing somebody get hit in the head with a stack of hundreds.
They throw it 90 miles an hour. So you either no one's going to see the rain because it's on the other side of the club, or you got a lawsuit. You didn't kill the stripper just stunting for no reason. And they didn't even get to see how you stunted. You're just like, they just saw you standing next to a baseball player.
No. You got to understand, bro. Like, I'm going to have a reputation. It's going to precede me. So when I come to the club, and be like, oh, shit, Tahir's here. All the strippers going to put on helmets. They're going to put on baseball helmets.
That would be kind of cool if you can condense, like, $100,000 into a baseball and play money ball. And they, like, and then it rains. That's a little showmanship.
See? Come on. Now we cook it.
I need
now
fake bills. We're having a good time. I need fake bills. That's crazy. I just, like... It's just a very desperate thing to do. But at the same time, I don't judge it because I feel like if there's people stupid enough to throw $100,000, $200,000 in the club, they got a bunch of hardworking strippers shaking booty, taking all that money and using it. So world goes round. I got no problem with that.
Hey, man, it's your money. Do with it what you will. I can't do it no more. I don't see myself ever making it rain no more. Even if I'm rich, I'm like, nigga, no. I'll make it rain on the waiter than I'm paying the bill with. I just rather, but I want to throw it on him because that's also rude. For me, I've always kind of feel like making it rain is kind of like, I remember going to the grocery store with my mom, and we in the Midwest, so, you know, racism is prevalent. And when somebody, like a cashier, somebody's returning your change, and they don't put it in your hand, they just set it on the counter, like they don't want to touch your hand. And so I've always kind of equated making it rain with that. Like, bitch, I want to give you this money, but I don't want to touch it for it. So you pick it up off the floor.
Is that disrespect in the Midwest?
Oh, hell yeah. My mom would call sick. My mom was one of them militant black mamas where she didn't give a fuck what she calls it. My mama calls a scene at church. If you disrespect her, Emma Jean McCombs is causing a scene.
What is a appropriate Midwestern call out if somebody puts the... Is it more... I'm assuming it's disrespectful if her hand was out and then they put it down. But what if they put it down before they were even reaching for it?
Well, here's the thing. Like, if I pay you with cash, I'm already in this position right here. I'm ready to...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Ready, right? And so if they put it on the counter, my first thing was like, are you afraid the black gonna rub off? You think that you put this money back in my hand, some of my black off of me gonna get on your hand, on your wiggity white hand? She would say shit like that. And I'm like,
hell yeah.
We just came in here for Fruit Loops, bro.
Hell yeah.
We just in here for Fruit Loops. But seeing that now, I'm that same way. If I hand you cash and everything is tapped now, so I very rarely have that cash on me. But if I hand you cash and you put my shit back on the counter, I'm gonna look for a second. I'm gonna look for a second. So
I never even processed that as disrespectful. I guess so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's big in the Midwest and the South. It's also like a courtesy thing. Like, motherfucker, hand me the shit, I handed it to you. Like, what you putting it on the counter for? Unless it's like a lot of bills and you counting it out and I'm counting it with you. Like, you giving me change or like you cashing out of a casino or something like that. Motherfucker, put my money in my hand. You know what I mean?
What's some other like disrespectful small things out there?
First of all, letting people over and they don't throw the hand up. We take that shit seriously, baby. That shit'll get you followed home.
For real? Just not the hand up? Not even like a mean cutoff? It's just the lack of thank you?
Mean cutoff is like, I ain't have no choice in the option, right? You cut me off, fuck, I got to break hard. Now I'm pissed behind you, but I don't feel as disrespected as me slowing down, right? Allowing you the space to get over, right? And you not saying thank you. Bitch, your mama ain't raised you right. And now I got to let you know.
That's more disrespectful than the actual cutoff.
With the cutoff, we expect that because people just shit drivers. It's the same way out here. Like, people don't use blinkers. And that blows my fucking mind. Like, I've never seen it in a city more prevalent than I have in Los Angeles. And it's crazy to me because the blinker is right behind the steering wheel. And you can literally just do that. You can do it with your finger and they still be like, nah. But I'm coming over.
Yeah, it's different. I feel like some people actually don't know how to use them too. Cause like yesterday I was driving at night for the first time in forever. And I saw like two people with no headlights on. And that's just like, man, they come on automatically nowadays. Like you out of your way to get into an accident.
Well, wait. You said that you were driving at night for the first time in a while. Have you not been driving at night?
Shoot. I mean, usually at night I Uber somewhere.
Like, really?
Because if I'm going to an event, it's probably crappy parking or like drinking and stuff like that. So I'd just be Ubering. But I was just driving my car home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. My homeboy was telling me he got a DUI, and because of his DUI, he can't go to Canada. I didn't even know like countries would block you for DUIs and stuff like that.
Really?
That's what he told me.
Because that's a felony, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think they don't let felons in a lot of places. That's crazy.
Can you be blocked or denied entry? Let's go with that. Countries. Let's see. Countries you can't visit if you have a DUI conviction. Shit. One country that you may not be able to visit is Canada. While Canada is known for its friendly and welcoming attitude, it takes a tough stance on those with criminal records. If you have a DUI conviction, you may be deemed inadmissible to Canada, which means you will not be allowed to enter the country. This can be a major inconvenience if you have business or personal reasons for wanting to visit Canada. Another country is, you may be off limits, is Japan. Japan is known for strict laws and regulations, including policies allowing visitors with criminal records. If you have a DUI conviction, you may be denied entry to Japan, even with a valid passport and visa. This can be a major disappointment if you've always wanted to visit Japan or other business interests. And for me, that was just like, when he was telling me this, I was like, damn, that's crazy. But like when you were talking about, like, if you're going to an event or you're going to be drinking, I've really been on that energy lately. It's kind of like the whole making the most of your time and, you know, the things, other things I could do, more than sex or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Like, even though there's a legal limit that you have to get to, I don't even want to chance it. Like, I've been taking scooters or Ubers or Lyfts more than anything when I've been going out now, just because of that same mindset. So when he told me that, I was like, damn, I didn't even know that. I had already started shifting it up because I just wanted to be safe. But when I heard that, I was like, nigga, even more of a reason, bro.
Yeah, I don't even.
More of a reason.
Yeah, it's definitely not worth it. But I feel like that mixed in with it's, I mean, it's just like even the hassle of having to deal with that parking and all that stuff. It's just, it's better to pay and be safe.
Yeah. Than
to be reckless out here. Cause
yeah,
that's
reckless.
Quickest way to jail.
That's what Heidi got when it's under a DUI. They give you a wet and reckless.
Wet and reckless. Why does that sound so fun though? That does not sound like you almost went to prison.
Yeah, they just hit me with a wet and reckless, told me to get my shit together. You know what I mean? And we'll be right back with it.
Hey,
speaking of fellas, if you're going over a lady's house, you don't know what a situation is like in our neighborhood. It's always best to Uber, Lyft, take a scooter or something like that for the parking situation, the safety situation, whatever it may be. But also, one thing you absolutely must take is your Blue Chew. You understand me? Blue Chew is going to get you there and get the job done. Last time I took a Blue Chew, my dick got sponsored by an energy drink company and refused to do missionary. It was like, nah, I can only do extreme conditions. All right. Sometimes I take a Blue Chew just to make a standing in line easier because I have something to lean on. Yeah. Have you ever tried to tuck in a submarine? It's damn near impossible. These are all things that they wanted me to say to tell y'all how amazing that Blue Chew is. But let's be honest, guys, it's not all about performance. It's about the legacy, the third legacy. And what you want to do is have a lasting one. Give her group chat something to talk about. You know, when you lay it down, that they're talking about how it gets up. And nothing makes you more of a legend than a little Blue Chew. You can discover your options at BlueChew.com. And of course, we got a special deal for our listeners. As always, you get your first month of Blue Chew free. Just use the promo code DIYS at checkout and pay $5 for shipping, and that's it. You get to join Blue Chew's mission to upgrade humanity one thrust at a time. So head on over to BlueChew.com for details and safety info. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Thanks to you guys for listening at home.
Hey, shout out to the Chew.
The Chew. I love their reads, man. It's so fun.
Right. It's fun for once. Give us some jokes. Hire some comedians on y'all end.
So we had this one story that I saw that was in hand. Shout out to the Scary Squad. I see y'all over there. What's up, Miss Joyce? Hey. What's up, Leah? What's up, what Taylor? I see y'all in there, man. Had this one story about, actually, I'm just added right now. So NASA renamed the apparatus sizes used for male astronauts to pee from small, medium, and large to large, gigantic, and humongous because no one's willing to pick their true size.
Wow.
I said apparatus. I'm sorry.
Okay. Apparatus. What the heck is going on? Okay. Apparatus.
Sizes used for male astronauts to pee from small, medium, large to large, gigantic, and humongous.
So, I mean, first of all, that's like Starbucks sizes. Like, you know, you're still getting a large or a small when you say grande. Grandes are not that big.
Right. It's not.
I guess you kind of have to know a little bit about the space suit for this. Do they have like cups that they pee into?
Well, each astronaut in the Gemini and Apollo program has to wear what is that? A rubber, I'm trying to see it real quick. Maybe I gotta take
a rubber sheath with a hole.
Okay. With a hole at the end for urination inside their suits, astronauts had to estimate their size correctly. If they claimed to be bigger than they were, the sheath would be loose and leakage could damage the suits and lead to bigger problems for mission astronauts. The rubber initially came in only three sizes, small, medium, large. In Moon Machines interview, Rietke said that the sizes were changed to large, gigantic, and humongous to better cope with the astronauts' sense of humor.
So that means that there were some people with larges that were having piss come out of their suits because they lied. Because
they lied. They should have grabbed that small. They should have grabbed that small. Man, listen, there are tons of women out there with shallow cervixes. All right? You just got to find your shallow cervix queen and be true to yourself. You know what I mean? Be true to yourself.
I'm more concerned about the actual setup of these suits now. So do they not have underwear on? Do they just have their dick pointed into this rubber thing, loose leaf?
I don't know. It might just be like just hanging there, you know, just hanging there, just hanging out, you know, just enjoying space, zero gravity, that type of shit.
And then it said a rubber sheath. So
I mean, I'm wondering if this is the suit that they wear when they initially are maybe taking off, or if they're doing any work outside of the spacecraft and they're outside in space for hours working. And so they have this, so they have to keep coming in and using the restroom.
Okay, it says the urine collection. They use a funnel attached to a hose for urine collection. The urine is processed and recycled into drinking water.
That's enough to maybe not be an astronaut.
Serious?
That's enough. Wait. Right there. I'm out. I don't even want to do it no more.
Okay, I'm gonna say in their suits. That's they up there drinking their piss. Okay, that's.
I don't know if they're drinking it or they're saying technically it could be used because it's been cleaned so well.
But then why filter it? For a technicality, you know?
I almost said for the plants.
A maximum absorbency garment, a mag that they wear. It's a urine collection device. It's similar to a diaper and can absorb liquid waste, allowing astronauts to relieve themselves without removing their suits. Okay. They said similar.
What's the longest you think you could stay in space? And would it depend on if you were with a friend, or would the bigger motivator be the dollar amount for how much you would get?
I wouldn't. I think it would be crazy to go from never being in space to like deep space. Mm-hmm. I would do like I would go to like the satellites, because you know, like that crazy fact where if like it says the satellites are only like 60 miles above us, mm-hmm. It's hella close. So I feel like them views where the Earth is still very big. I feel like the further you get away from the Earth, the more terrified I would be. So I would definitely go up there. And I would want to stay for a while, even if I hated it. I'd say like maybe a week to start off.
That's a while? You said a while. I'm thinking you're gonna start at a month.
No, because I mean if I hate it, that would be a terrible month. But I feel like a week. They say it takes
That's why I gave you those caveats. Would it matter if you had like your best friend there? Or would it matter, would a bigger motivator be if you have like, yo, you stay a month up here, we'll give you $850,000.
I'll stay for a month for $850,000. Because then it's like a challenge. It's like, even if this sucks, I can thug this out. But right. If it's just like a, you know, we want you to experience space, I feel like a month is biting off more than you can chew. Because people really train to go up there. I feel like.
No, for real. For real.
What if you went up there and you were just nauseous the whole time?
I would have like 6 iPads with me, because that would be my thing. Because I don't know if they got Wi-Fi up there. I mean, the satellites are right there, but I don't know if SpaceX and all that shit works up there. So I would have those iPads loaded with everything I wanted to watch. Every
you
show.
Would you watch TV out there?
Fuck, I'm going to do go outside, toss the ball back and forth.
I mean, you could be doing like, there's no gravity in there, right? So you can be
After the first 2 hours, I'm over it. You're okay, over zero gravity after the first day. Let's be honest. So what are you gonna do with that rest of the month, bro? I'm finna knock all this shit out.
You're not looking forward to any meals because the food up there is trash. Bathing. Trash. Have you seen how they bathe? It's just like a ball of water, and they kind of just
pulling all up.
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't do a month if I knew I was going to be musty. Food is bad.
I do wipes. I wouldn't even worry about that whole big blob of water. I got some dude wipes. Goddamn me, hitting the hot spots. You know what I'm saying? I ain't moving a lot. I ain't sweating. You know what I mean? So I'm be all right, baby.
That's true. There's no way. I mean, it's probably sweaty work to be like pushing yourself, but I'm sure it's cold as hell up there. I'm sure they're not like sweating like that.
But you know what? You might have to work out a little bit, though. You might have to do like the little machine with your arms and your legs. You can keep that mobility in your limbs because there is zero gravity. So you're not like walking. So that would be a whole month with no walking if you don't do any exercise.
Damn, that's true.
Yeah, man. I forgot about that part just right now.
I would walk upside down. That'd probably be the most fun part.
Yeah.
Then you got to dodge it afterwards. Like, it's like if it's a busy morning, there's multiple. You like Neo.
I want to get drunk and I would love to get weed high in space.
You don't think you'd be scared?
Well, I mean, I feel like I don't smoke as much as like real smokers. So, I mean, I'm good with like 5-6 puffs. However, I don't think you would be able to get high unless it's a vape pen, because you can't have anything that starts a fire in space.
Oh, that's right. I mean, you know, we're just talking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's
how. But a vape pen to get me there, I'll be good on a little vape pen. I'll take some vodka up there.
You know how like if you run at a high altitude, it hits you like crazy because the air is thinner? Yeah. I wonder if like a few puffs would have you higher than you've ever been. And then you have an existential crisis looking out into space, because that might just freak you out.
So if you're with somebody, just got to have that person be your, they got to be your anchor. Both of y'all can't smoke at the same time. Only one of y'all can smoke at one time. Somebody got to be an anchor.
I never thought about that. You can't smoke out there. So them astronauts probably drunk as hell up there.
Probably soaking the tampons and vodka and sticking up their booty hole.
That do seem like an astronaut thing.
That seems like some super white boy, frat boy shit, but at the same time, efficient. They Jumbo say it's efficient.
Because you know the telepads up there. There's got to be.
You put it in your sheath. Just put it on the backside of your sheath.
That would actually be a really tough month.
But I got another story. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say there's probably shit to do. Nobody's up there probably watching Netflix. There's probably so much shit that you have to, like, chip in on.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, the maintenance of the ship and checking the levels every couple hours just to make sure. Like, I always think about Passengers. That's the movie that kind of fucked up space travel for me, because I don't know if you saw that one with Chris Pratt.
Mm-mm.
And what's the chick's name? And Lawrence Fishburne is it, but basically they're on a ship that's taking them to another planet where they're gonna set up the world at this planet, right? They're gonna staff it, they're gonna build all the stuff up. But it's a 90 year space travel or something like that, 75 years travel. And so they're in a deep cryo state of sleep. And early on, the ship is going through some like meteor debris. And something makes it through the shield and damages the ship. Now, the ship is compensating by pulling power from other areas to try to compensate for this damage at this one part of the ship. And because it's doing that, it knocks some of the cryostate chambers out. And they, like, people start coming awake. And so this guy's on there totally by himself for like almost a year. And then he starts going through the manifest and he finds his chick and he's like, should I do it?
Oh, I think I have seen this.
Should I wake her up? Oh, I don't know. And wakes her fucking up and then tries to blame it on the ship. And then the ship actually starts deteriorating more because all of the areas are compensating, trying to put power to this area that is fucked up. And now they're losing power. They're not operating at efficient levels. And they ended up, it worked out because the people that were up ended up having to save all the rest of the passengers. Because if they hadn't done what they did, then the whole ship would explode and nobody would have made it.
I saw that because the big thing was that they needed to be in those because it took like thousands of years to get.
It took like 100 years, 75 years there.
But, didn't it end with them like having to just be awake and die before they got there, or did they go back to sleep?
It was a sad ending, but I love that movie. I love that because remember the bartender was a droid, and when he first saw the bartender, he was excited. He was like, "Yo, what's going on? Let me get a whiskey." And then he realized it was they stole that joy from him that fast.
Damn, I couldn't imagine like waking up early on like a Delta flight. And then, and they tell you like it's 200 years to the thing. You're just like, bro, this is awful.
Bro, what's worse than that is, not being able to get back to sleep. Like waking up is one thing, right? But if you have the medicine to put you back in a deep sleep and the cryotherapy can be fixed, bro, like that, I'm finna die alone. Oh,
I would probably be up by myself for like a week. And if there was other people, it might be like a few months would be fun. And then be like, let's go back to sleep. Let's go back to sleep. but by myself ain't happening.
What if you stayed up for a couple months and you learned everybody's name? So when you went back to sleep, you woke up, you knew everybody by name. And they'd be like, yo, how the fuck do you know me? I don't know you. You done read everybody's profile and remember them.
Damn.
That's some cable guy shit. Oh, yo, this story right here is crazy as fuck. We got to watch this one real quick. I just added this one to Hibby a couple days ago.
I've been walking for 27 years to become the only person in history to walk around the entire planet with just one rule. No transport of any kind. Carl Bushby began his journey in 1998 from the southern edge of Chile saying, "I'll return home only on foot." After 2 years, he had crossed all of South America and faced his first major obstacle, the Darien Gap, one of the deadliest places on Earth, with its impenetrable jungle, smugglers, and armed clashes between rebels and the military. As part of a group, Carl spent 50 days avoiding danger and somehow made it out alive. Panamanian soldiers even held him for 18 days before letting him continue his trek. It took 6 years to cross all of Central and North America and reach the Bering Strait, which separates the two continents. After waiting for the strait to freeze, he and French traveler Dimitri Kiefer became one of the first ever to cross it on foot, despite drifting 80 kilometers off course. Then he faced arrest in Russia and strict visa limits, which forced him to leave the route every 90 days and return to the exact same spot to continue his journey. As a result, his trek across Siberia, where temperatures dropped to minus 50, stretched over 11 long years. When the world shut down during the pandemic and borders closed, Carl was stuck in Kazakhstan for 4 years and hit a dead end, the Caspian Sea. He couldn't go around it through Russia or Iran, so he made one choice, to swim across. Using a support boat only for rest and sleep, he and American traveler Angela Maxwell crossed the Caspian Sea in 30 days, becoming the only people ever to do so. After nearly three decades, 25 countries, and 47,000 kilometers, Carl is now walking across Europe and is expected to finally return home by 2026.
I think that nigga was suicidal. There's no way he wanted to actually go home. Did you hear the first obstacle? Jungle with deadly, bandits and military and stuff like that?
Bro, yes. That jungle I watch a lot of History Channel and shit like that. And so they talk about that place because there are no like fully functional, accessible roads. It is littered with robbers and looters and drug mules. And then because it's like rainforest, it's got all the animals there too. Like all that. You got so much shit working for it. And this motherfucker did it, bro. Like, I think about like why I do comedy. I do it because I love to make people laugh. I do it to hopefully have a lasting legacy, add something to the game, be remembered, be something like that. That is literally just, this is a personal goal of mine. This is just what I want to do. And that's crazy to be able to do that and then want to do that and like keep going.
They were just like, yeah, the Russians are going to put you in jail. Like, I'm out of here. I'm done. Never mind. I can't believe oceans didn't stop him because, like, that shit is dangerous as hell if you take away all the poachers and the animals and stuff. The terrain is what can kill you. So the fact that, first of all, they glazed over, it's just me. First of all, they glazed over Canada. He just walked through Canada. And most of that is like the Yukon and like treacherous snow. And then Central America, like, that shit is hot as fuck. It's insane what they glazed over. But I think the craziest thing to me personally was walking across the frozen ocean and then swimming across. Like, bro, at some point you got to be like, man, this was a lot. This was crazy.
I mean, very impressive, right? But just think, if it wasn't for that video I just happened to come across while I was doom scrolling, I would have never known about that. So, like, that is really just a personal mission, because I'm 41 and I've never heard this. And he started doing that three decades ago.
Should have been on Time Magazine. If you did that now, they would probably stream the whole thing somehow.
Oh, hell yeah. You got to. Bro, I'm so tapped into this guy named, I think his name is Justice, but he started after he bought a 5,000, Justice Reed.
Oh, the boat
started after he bought a 5,000 euro home, right? I remember when he started, and I remember he only had like maybe 75,000, maybe 150,000. But from the first one, that first video he did, and he was like, my 5,000 euro home.
This is the key to the cellar.
Oh shit, I've never seen this.
It started 3 days ago when my friend told me he would sell me his cabin.
He started documenting everything, drops a video just about every day. Sometimes it takes a couple more days because it rains a lot and where he's in Vulcan, wherever he's at. But bro, from 75 to maybe 125,000 followers to 6.6 million in maybe over 2 months, 2-3 months max.
Because
he's documenting everything, bro.
And what is he restoring it or just?
Yeah, he's restoring it to like live in. The house had no running water, has no electricity. It just got running water, I think. And no, he just got electricity. Still didn't have running water because he was still fixing up the bathroom, ordering food every day. Had no electricity. He was using solar power joints to power his phone to edit on there and his computer. And then the people of the land just came and started helping him build it. And then the shit started getting traction, so companies started reaching out, like, hey, we'll give you free product if you put it in the videos. And so imagine, like, if you did some shit like that, bro, Merrill, all the companies inside of REI, all them motherfuckers hitting you up with tents, backpacks, sleeping bags,
crazy
cliff bars, everything, bro. And can you imagine if you got, like, GoPros and the glasses, if you got a drone, the shots that you would get?
It's insane. And it's what I love about that is, like, I think that to me is the best part about being like a content creator, because a lot of people don't really understand how powerful that is. People think that being a content creator is lame because so many people do lame things, but he wanted to do that anyways. He just happened to be a content creator. And if you just know how to record something that's interesting as hell, now he's got like everybody watching it. He gets to share that, which we might not ever do ourselves. And it comes with like money and like upgrades that he wanted anyways. It's like, that's such a perfect job for him.
It's a win. One company gave him a car because he had bought this bullshit car. He had did a video about when he bought the car like some months back and how it was just horrible. And the car was struggling getting up the hill and it was just a piece of shit. And this company gave him a car. It was like, use this for as long as you need while you're working on a house. Just shit like that, bro. And if you're out of the country and your people need to get to you or they need to send you some money and you got electronics, then it seems like Cash App would be the easiest thing. And I love Cash App specifically because when it comes to your money, you deserve to feel safe from fraud and in control. And that's exactly what you can expect with Cash App. We've all seen the scams. Actually, I just got hit with another scam where they tried to today. It was the one from, did I delete it? No, here it is right here. State of Missouri Department of Vehicles, the DMV final notice, enforcement penalties begin on September 16th. Bro, they really sent me this email the text message with everything saying they're going to suspend my driving privileges for 30 days, transfer a toll booth and charge 35% service fee. And I could be prosecuted and my credit score will be affected. If you don't know that this is a scheme and this is going on, you just believe that. So I appreciate the safety and the security that Cash App provides. when you're using them. You get the Cash App card. Not only do you get access to a ton of perks and benefits like exclusively early access to nationwide concert presales or discounts on popular brands, but you also have extra security with the power to instantly lock or unlock your card right from your phone in just one tap. If a suspicious transfer or transaction pops up on your card, Cash App has your back by automatically declining the purchase and sending you a heads up to confirm if it's you or not. Behind the scenes, you can rest assured knowing that your account balance is protected by 24/7 fraud monitoring. And if something ever feels off, you have the ability to lock your card right from your phone in just one tap. Now, with Cash App card, you can spend, save, and live your life knowing your money is right where you left it. With advanced built-in security protections you can count on and help when you need it, spend your peace of mind and your day in order. Get a Cash App card or at Cash App/card. It's one more thing I got to read to y'all, and this is it's one of those things got to be word for word, right? So for a limited time, and this is our call to action. This is for the people who've been living under a rock for the last 30 years, and they never heard of Cash App or they never used Cash App. And I get it. Initially, Cash App sounded like something for the young kids, or that's for the young generation. That's what they're doing. I'm not doing that. Listen, everybody use Cash App. It's easy. It's safe. It's quick. It's effective, all right? For a limited time only, new Cash App customers can use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash for real. Just download Cash App, use our exclusive referral code SECURE10 in your profile, and then send $5 to a friend within 14 days, and you'll get $10 dropped right into your account. Terms apply. That's money. That's Cash App. Cash App is a financial service platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Instant discounts provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for more disclosures.
Shout out to the Cash App.
Yeah, I rock the Cash App, man. That's how the kid won't take money any other way, bro. She won't take it to Zelle. She don't use Venmo. She only uses Cash App, and she be on it too. It's just her thing, bro. She has a bank account. She just don't ever ask for money there. She just be like, can you Cash App me $5? But usually always around 20, 25. That's crazy. Like, when you used to ask money for your parents, it'd be like $10, $15. The minimum from the kid is $25.
I mean, that's low-key $10.
That's inflation for your ass, bro. That's inflation. She was like, can you send me some money for Taco Bell? And I said $20. She was like, yeah, you know I'm doing Uber Eats. You know $20 is not enough. That's barely going to come from food. And I was like,
I didn't think about that.
Bro, you know what I mean? And I don't want her to be a dick and not tip. So I got to send $35. Right, because it's probably gonna be at least an $8 delivery, and you got to be able to tip at least $3-4. So now I gotta send you $35 for some fucking Mexican pizzas and two gordita crunches.
I never and some cinnamon twists. Because I've never sent money for Postmates. It's always been for food, like physically bought food. And now I feel like the difference between the price of Postmate and like the in restaurant stuff is the same difference that our parents and grandparents used to talk about gas. And like how the ice cream truck, they used to get like 50 things with a dollar. And when I'm asking for the ice cream truck, I'm like, yeah, I need like 150.
I was watching this video. I think it's for this page called Rolling Museums. And what they do is they just advertise old school cars. They sell them. The whole thing is like it's too short to drive boring cars. And so they were reading this sticker price from like this 1974. I think it was a Monte Carlo, 1972 Monte Carlo, somewhere around there. And this one had everything fully loaded, like all the amenities. It had the big block engine, everything, and it had leather seats. It was a Monte Carlo. It was I think it was a Regal, because it had the bucket seats, but you could clip a button, like pull a lever, and then you twist the seat out, and you can get out easier if you're a bigger guy, right? What all the options on it. That car was $3,682. That was the sticker price back then. That was a lot of money. 1972, I think.
For real? It jumped up like that? So wait, what's the equivalent today?
Probably started somewhere around 45, 50. for a car like that that had all of those luxuries? Yeah, somewhere around there.
Hmm. What is it
based? I was just watching the video with the homie. He do tall guy car reviews. He was reviewing 2025 or 26 BMW M2, right? Smaller car. It's got a performance engine, all of that type of stuff. Small ass car. One of the smallest ones on BMW line. Car starts at $67,000. As tested, it was at $75,000. $67,000 for this small ass car. And your insurance ain't gonna be no less than $400 on that car.
It's a what, a two-seater?
No, I think it was a four-seater, but it's just small. It was just small as hell. And I'm just like, bro, that's insane.
What do base BMWs go for now? I thought they all started at like 60.
Nah, you can probably get, let me see.
Price. I do not know what BMWs cost. I feel like they have like super high end and like super affordable too.
I wouldn't say affordable. Let's see. Find a BMW today. McKenna. Let's see. Let's try a brand new BMW. See what the base price is. Okay. The new BMW iX3, that's the SUV. That one starts at, what's the SUV? So I'm getting 400 miles. Well, all right. That's electric. All electric too. Okay. This is all electric BMW SUV. This starts at, come on, man. What's this fucking price? I got it all the way at the bottom. Maybe it's not available because this is new. I don't know. This is quickly
list.
Quickly losing the steam. All right, let's look at a base model. What is this? I4. All right, let's look at a base model 5 series, right?
Okay.
Let's see. So the base model 5 series starts at around, the 530i starts at $59,900. And that's with 255 horsepower. That ain't shit in comparison to what BMWs can really do. If you want to go to the top of the line without building yours, you got the 540i X-Drive. That one's at $67,100.
Okay.
So but again, these are just the BMWs. These aren't like the X models or the M models. You talk about the M models and, bro, I'm just click a couple of these real quick.
Are those under or over?
Those are going to be way over. Those are the performance ones. So they gonna hit you over the head with it. Let me see. Did we got it's anything? BMW
i3 that's only 42,000 though.
Is it new?
It says 2025, but it's the electric BMW. It's 42.
Oh, you know what's crazy? I just heard that the electric Audi car, the e-tron Sport, e-tron Sport. That mm-hmm. one is the most powerful car that is on the Audi lawn right now.
The Audi?
Yeah.
What does it start at?
I didn't look at the price. I just said it's the most powerful. Like it has the most horsepower, the most takeoff, everything is that car right there.
Oh, and it's high luxury. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I wanna have a car collection, but I already know how it's gonna go. Exactly how it's gonna go. I feel like it's the same with everybody. They get a bunch of cars, and then fast forward to like a few years later, they're like, I drove them all twice.
And yeah. Like, I mean, unless you're one of those people like Currency that, like, you know what I'm saying, like really enjoys cars like that. He drives his shit all the time.
But does he have like a massive collection or a small collection? Oh, yeah. He drives a lot.
Nah, he got his shit in the warehouse. He had a couple of warehouses.
And he pops out in all of them?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he definitely has his favorites, but yeah, he pops out.
I think 3 or 4 is good for me.
I think so too. Okay, so we were talking about that M series. I mean, I'm sorry, that 5 series. And mm-hmm. I said it started around, it was like basically 46,000 like that, and it got up to 67,000. The M series, the M5, starts at $121,900.
M5, you said?
Yes. So that car that we were just talking about prior to when I gave you the prices for it, The M5, the M edition of that one is basically double, 121,000, my boy.
I'm not going to lie, and I don't know too much about cars. This looks like a lot of other BMWs.
It does.
This looks like a lot of other BMWs.
It does, man.
And that shit's crazy. When they kind of look like almost a hatchback.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. They got something like that, too.
Booty. That might... Yeah, BMWs look very similar.
They do. So they do that because when you change the body style of a car, it lowers the resale value of it, mm-hmm. right? So that's why Lexus, that remember Lexus truck, it looked the same for so many years, is that they make small upgrades, but the car holds its value. The same way like Toyotas do the same thing, Lexus do the same thing, BMWs do the same thing, that holds the value. So when they do a hard shift and they change the whole front end of a car, every car that preceded that goes down anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000. Unless it's an M series and it has the engine, it's still good.
I mean, some car companies have really classic looks and you kind of don't want them to change, but
yeah.
It's when they start looking super like similar, but hundreds of thousands of dollar differences. Like you could just get a cheap one and upgrade the engine and the body yourself, right?
I mean, you could, but most people don't have the resources or the access to somebody that could like do the right upgrades themselves unless they're gonna do it themselves.
That's what I'm saying. If you got the resources to buy the full one, that's $150,000. I feel like buying a used one and souping it up. That's what I honestly think I would do that if I was a billionaire. I think I would still buy like a used car and fix it up myself.
Yeah, it sounds good. I don't think you would. You might because like I guess like
I did that.
You're gonna be really like doing that a whole lot of driving the cars like that. Me, I'm be like, let's see, BMW vehicles range from approximately 40,000 entry level. Models like 2 Series to well over $100,000. Yeah, that makes sense, man.
Do you have like a old school that's next in line or a new dream car?
Man, I would really like to get a low key though. I would like to get a DeLorean and probably spend like $50,000 on upgrades. I would want a new suspension on that bitch. I would want a better engine because that was the aha Easter egg in was it Back to the Future? The DeLorean actually only goes 80 miles an hour.
Right.
There's no way you can make it get up to 88.
So what about the electric one that's coming out? You don't want that one?
I don't. It doesn't have the same allure for me. Did you see the one that
the other one don't work? Huh? the old one don't work.
That's what I'm saying. I would get the engine redone and get a new engine in it, get the suspension done, and I want my windows to roll all the way down. I told you the window only rolls like down this much, right?
Really? And all of them?
Yeah.
That car sucks.
It sucks so bad. And it's so heavy. It's so heavy, bro.
I don't mind the electric one compared to the problems of the first one.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. But like the first one is what made me love it, man. And it's a place out here that sells DeLoreans.
They didn't copy it close enough, but they do look dope. They do have the doors up and everything. I don't know. The DeLorean, I want a classic car, but I'm not married to any of them. You know what's crazy? I just want a car that the headlights do this.
The pop up?
If the headlights pop up,
you get an old Corvette for that. You can get your little old Corvette.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not attached to any brand. Just show me the cars that do this.
That shit is all good and well until you get a shortage and you don't know if it's a wire or if it's a fuse, and not only one of your shits going up. So you look like you winking at everybody you pass by. Every car you pass by, your car is going like, "Bitch, please." Like,
damn, I didn't think about that.
My mom had a Ford Probe, and toward the end of that car's life, only one of the bitches popped up. But that Ford Probe, Ford Probe.
I didn't know Ford had headlights like that. Is that not like a luxury thing? Is that like a normal
car thing? You and Riviera had
it's hard though.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was
she had the first series too. The later ones were smaller, but the first one was a big ass. coupe. It was pretty big. Hers was white and she had burgundy interior. Pop up lights.
I was thinking like Ferrari, but this is tough too. I would literally be like, okay, if I was shopping for a Ferrari and I saw this, I'd be like, all right, I'll do that instead.
Yeah, the Acura Integra too. It had the flip up lights. Hippie said she had an Acura Integra with the flip up lights too.
Let me see this.
I like the Acura Legend though. I still want another one. I would get another one of those too. But I would definitely get an Acura Legend.
Ooh, the
Integra 96.
You talking about the Integra too, or?
Hippie was talking about the Integra. She had one of those. I would get an Acura Legend 96. The coupe. That motherfucker bad, bro. 95. These motherfuckers are still going for, if you find a pristine Acura Legend, like two-door joint, bro, you probably still will pay. If it's got low miles on it, you probably could pay more than $25,000 for it easily.
Really? A 95?
Easily. If it's got low miles on it, absolutely.
Is it just one of those like cars that you can swap a lot?
It's one of the ones where like it was made super popular back in the 90s. Rappers had it. It was kind of like a status symbol. So
really?
Yeah, man.
Interesting.
That's it. I just found one, and it's a four-door 1992, and this one's going for $12,500 with 86,000 miles. So if you find one, the two-door, which is the most popular one, and a 95, oh, bro, you coming out of some bread for that one, baby boy.
These are them cars that just a simple spray job to make it tan color or gold color ruins it completely.
Yeah,
like the tan or gold color loses completely.
I hate it. I like the black one. My sister had a black Integra, and I wanted. I would have took the gold Legend. I'm not gonna hold you. I would have took the gold one or the red one. Yeah, I'm looking at one right now. It's got 164,000 miles on it. It had one accident. Six owners, and it's still going for $10,500.
How much is it supposed to drop after an owner?
Well, I'm just saying like that the more owners you have, the less you know about the maintenance of the car, unless each one of them kept records of it. So you don't know if people just add it and they ain't really to do the maintenance. Some people are like car people. They don't care if it's time for the oil change. If it's been the duration of it, they're going to go ahead and do it. They're going to swap out the tires. It's going to be garage kept or it'd be in Southern California, so you ain't getting a whole lot of rain, so you don't have to worry about rust. If you're in the Midwest and the South, you have way more elements to worry about, which could affect the car, the overall feel of it, and the value of it.
Damn. Because I'd be like, when they be hitting me up after 6 months, like, it's time, I'd be like, is it though? It seems like it's running five. I might push it to like 8, 9, maybe 10 months. So I didn't know niggas was keeping a record.
Nah, nigga, my shit goes in. My car tells me too. So it's come down from 1,000 miles of when the car deserves service, and then but I got everything included in it. So I just go in there, spending a couple hours. They do all the service. They'll do any software updates they need. They'll change the batteries and all my keys, and then they detail the car for me. So I just make a day out of it, bro.
It's all day?
Nah, but it could be like 2-3 hours, depending on how busy they are and which location I go to.
They be keeping my shit.
Yeah.
They just be calling me an Uber immediately. And I just go home and keep my shit for like a day.
Nah, I've had it happen before, but they usually give me back this at the same day, man. Well, shit, man, it's about that time for us to get up out of here, bro. We had a guest today, guys, but he was driving, and we didn't want him to be driving and trying to stream at the same time because we promote safety over here. But we're going to have somebody back for the next one. We're going to be back in the studio really soon. And, man, we're working on some stuff. So, Pat, anything you want to tell the people to look out for?
Yes, Sedona, Arizona travel show episode of We Trippin' just dropped today. So go ahead and check that out. And Planet Sandwich is live every 6 p.m. on my Twitch and YouTube. Pull up.
There it is. As for me, I'm going back on tour with Kev, Tony, and Brandon Lewis. Also, you can check that at barbrothers.com. I'm also going to be, let me see, where is it at? I'm doing San Diego. And let me pull that up. I should have these dates together, but, you know, I was in the show, guys. Start me up. I'm doing San Diego, Mic Drop Comedy Club with my boy Lawrence Killebrew. That's going to be October 8th. I'm also going to be in Sacramento, the October 14th and 15th at Laughs Unlimited. And then on October 16th, I'm going to be in Arkansas. And then we got three more dates at the end of the year. We're waiting for the deals to come through. So be looking out for that. And also the t-shirt is available. You know what I'm saying? I just got to put the link up, but this is the To Hear More Out t-shirt. This is to promote the special. The special is available on YouTube, Apple TV, Prime. Also, you can listen to it on Spotify or wherever you stream your music and audio. Please check out The Hospital and Churchy on BET and BET Plus. Yeah, man, that's about it. I'm To Hear More.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And we'll see you next time on another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary. Peace, guys.
Bye.